Family, I have a disclaimer for today's episode. Today's episode is one of those episodes that sometimes can be a little touchy. I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to record today's episode because I actually live it just like I live every episode, but today was a little bit different. So I put that disclaimer out there because, see, my goal in when I record these episodes is really to equip you and to empower you when you get into this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with, called project management. Let's get into it. What if the person hired to onboard you actually wanted your job? What would you do? You mind if I share a short story with you? It all started with a project that I led. You see, I was in the operation department, partnered with another department manager in finance. The department manager was the textbook definition of what I call empowered leadership. Resources appeared on request. Meetings were more collaborative, and we wrapped the project up early, under budget, and within scope. A few weeks later, the department manager of the project we just completed sent me a cryptic one-on-one meeting invite entitled Thoughts. When I arrived at the meeting, he pulled up a PowerPoint slide deck to show me the brand new PM role he created for the finance department and wanted my feedback. I outlined what success would look like, but the conversation ended with, "Edward, if you're interested, you should apply." I hesitated. I was comfortable in operation, but the chance to work for someone who actually walked the talk was too good to ignore. So I interviewed for the opportunity and I got the job. Into the picture, my onboarding buddy. We started to go through the current project in progress. And when I asked, "Why do we run this report manually?" I wasn't asking it to be rude, but I was curious. You see, family, as a project manager, you must always remain curious. Okay, let's get back to the story. My onboarding buddy said to me, "That's how we've always done it." Now, it wasn't what was said, but how my onboarding buddy said it to me. The vibe felt a little less welcoming aboard and more secret society for spreadsheet enthusiasts. I wanted to let it go because I thought maybe I was overthinking the situation. Unfortunately, I wasn't. Through various conversations, I found out that my onboarding buddy also applied for the role and been passed over. This resistance wasn't really about me. It was a disappointment that I had no control over. Or did I? Therefore, I booked a one-on-one meeting call, planning your next steps. I opened up with, "I was advised that you were a candidate for this role, which tells me you want to move into project management. Your technical expertise is stellar. Let's leverage this particular project to sharpen your PM skills and make sure your next opportunity for project management is undeniable." The shift was instant. We carved out a technical work stream for my onboarding buddy to manage the schedule, stakeholders, risk, and also to lead weekly projects meetings. Secret meetings didn't stop though. Well, actually, they started to include me. And when I asked, "Why do we do it this way?" the answer became, "Good question. How do you think we can improve it?" See, family, the lesson was sabotage often masks disappointment. Address it early, stay professional, and you might turn your biggest critic into your strongest ally while keeping the project and everyone else's career goals on track. Point number one, professional integrity and sabotage prevention. See, when you are empowered, you're welcome into your role with professionalism and mutual respect. Even if others were considered for the same position, the team members support onboarding and knowledge transfer to ensure project continuity. When you're in a toxic environment, you're undermined by resentment or sabotage. This is important, family, because sabotage, whether subtle or direct, poisons trust and destabilizes your leadership early. If left undressed, it sets a tone that others may follow and can destroy the project morale, clarity, and most of all, the team cohesiveness. Experiment with these actionable tips. Acknowledge, don't escalate yet. Document behaviors and patterns. Avoid emotional reactions. Respond with professionalism and observation. Your resistance shows leadership. Next one. Clarify roles with leadership support. Request an onboarding check-in with your sponsor or PMO lead to lead publicly and to assure your authority and reinforce collaboration expectations. And the last and final one, reset expectations. Schedule a private meeting with the individual, focus on transparency, mutual goals, and most of all, mutual respect. Reaffirm that personal disappointment must not impact professional conduct. Point number two, access to resources. See, when you are empowered, you're giving what's needed, budget, tools, time, and the talent you need to be successful. But when you're in a toxic environment, your resources are starved. What do you mean by that, ED? See, you are constantly being asked to do more with less to the point of sabotage. Deadlines remain, but headcounts drop. Tools are outdated, and the goalpost continues to move and move. Why is this important? Resource gaps don't just delay timelines. They create a morale issue, burnout, and it impacts the reputation to the entire project, even including yourself. Experiment with these actionable tips. Build a business case. Link resource needs to business impact, missed deadlines, and lost revenue, as well as the increased risk. Next one, evaluate, or I should say, elevate it as a risk. Flag under-resourcing clearly in status reports, risk laws with a mitigation, and you want to make sure you got your fallback plan. And the last and final one, propose creative solution. Could you borrow someone cross-functionally, maybe pilot a free tool? Bring in options, not just problems. Point number three, psychological safety. When you are empowered, people feel safe speaking up, disagreeing, and raising red flags. But when you're in a toxic environment, culture of fear and blame, people stay silent out of fear. Problems are hidden and mistakes become career-ending landmines. You don't find out there's a fire until it's already spreading. Why is this important? Silence kills projects. If no risk or flags or feedback given, you can't course correct effectively. Experiment with these actionable tips. Lead by example. Own your mistakes publicly. Show that accountability. It isn't punishment. It is progress. Next one. Run blameless reviews. Postmortems should focus on systems, not individuals. Remove the who and focus on the why. Invite quiet voices. Ask for input from the team members who rarely speak up. Open the door and then hold it open. Point number four, supportive leadership. When you are empowered, leadership sets the vision, removes the barriers, and they back you when you have to make tough calls. When you're in a toxic environment, though, absent or undermining leadership. See, leaders either vanish when issues arise, or they sabotage the projects behind the scenes to protect their turf. You're left isolated in a political minefield. This is important because senior support is often the deciding factor, especially in a cross-functional success. No air cover equals stalled progress. See, when you don't have protection as far as having the leadership support, you will have continuously stalled progress. Experiment with these actionable tips. Proactively manage up. Share weekly updates that are short, sharp, and action-driven. Next one, ask for tactical help. Can you help remove this specific blocker by the end of the week? Give them a job to do. And the last and final one, tie your project to their success. Know your sponsor's metrics. Frame your work as enabling their goal. Point number five, collaborative team culture. When you are empowered, people share knowledge, support each other, and care about the collective success. Now, when you're in a toxic environment, you have silos, you have infighting. See, teams hoard information, undermining each other, or they do what I call the blame shift. Collaboration dies in favor of, hey, I need to cover myself. This is important because projects thrive when teams move in sync, and dissension adds friction that no amount of technical excellence can overcome. Experiment with these actionable tips. Build a team charter. Align early on how the team works together, what the values are, what the communication rules are, and how are we going to handle conflict. Next one, celebrate collective win. Publicly thank the team for their shared milestones. Focus on we, not I. And the last and final one, tackle tension quickly. Don't wait. Address conflict early with curiosity and a problem-solving lens. As we talk about, we want to focus on the root, not the surface. The root is going to be our driver in getting to the surface, but we must start with the root. Point number six, set realistic expectations. Again, set realistic expectations. When you're empowered, deadlines and scopes are grounded in reality, not fantasy. They're respect for the team capacity and constraints. When you're in a toxic environment, constant crisis and burnout, always on fire, urgent becomes normal. Unrealistic expectations are rewarded. Delivering well isn't a standard. It's actually you're surviving. This is important because projects delivered under duress often create long-term failures. You have technical debt. You have poor adoption, as well as an exhausted team. So experiment with these actionable tips. Use change control. Enforce scope governance. Make every change request visible and accountable. Next one. Present data-driven estimates. Use past velocity, capacity, or expert inputs to show what's actually feasible. And the last and final one, force prioritization. When everything is priority number one, nothing is. Make leadership rank what their ask is. Point number seven, focus on growth. When you're empowered, learning is encouraged. You're offered stretch roles, mentorship, and the space to develop. But when you're in a toxic environment, you got stagnation and punishment. What do you mean punishment? See, mistakes are punished. They're not reviewed. There's no room to grow, no feedback, no future. It's either do your job or stay quiet, or you can do both. Why is this important? Growth builds loyalty. If people aren't growing, they're updating their LinkedIn profile, which is so true, or they're out looking for a job opportunity, which impacts the entire team cohesiveness. So experiment with these actionable tips. Invest in yourself. Set personal development goals and track them. Even if the organization won't support you, you must. Create your own playbook. Capture insights, mistakes as you grow, and that will be your framework. And the last and final one, my favorite, is find external mentorship. Sometimes, I say most of the time, the guidance you need may have to come outside your organization, and that's okay. But the goal is to ensure that you're willing to be coached, that you're willing to listen. And it's always about growth and learning. I really believe it's important to have a mentor. And if you get lucky, and I've had some amazing mentors inside organizations, which I've been so greatly appreciative of it. But if you don't, you want to make sure that you get an external mentor. Point number eight, strategic alignment. When you are empowered, everyone knows how your project ladders up to the bigger mission. See, when you're in a toxic environment, you have conflicting priorities, shifting goals. Today's priority number one is tomorrow's not important. Direction changes constantly. You're running in circles with actually no finish line. And we know a project in endeavor has a beginning and an end. So why is this important? Misalignment kills momentum. Clarity drives focus and unites the team. Experiment with these actionable tips. Create a strong charter. Clarify scope. What are our success criteria and the alignment for strategic goals? Get it signed off. Next one. Reinforce the why. Keep purpose front and center in updates, meetings, as well as communication. And the last and final one, push back with purpose. When priorities shift, ask, which current initiative should we deprioritize to take this on? Well, family, if you stayed this long, you know I truly appreciate it. There's no such thing as a perfect workplace or even perfect people. Every team has its challenges, politics, and personality. But as a project manager, you are in a unique position to influence the culture, guide behavior, and actually set the tone. Yes, some environments will test your patience. I know that in and out. But the real question is, will you focus on the problem or will you step up to shape the solution? Family, as I close, I challenge you on the following. What you can do is lead with professionalism, document your decisions, protect your team, and model the kind of collaboration you expect from others. What's your next move? Stay, and endure or grow and move on. The choice to stay isn't failure. The choice to lead, even in tough conditions, that's your value. That's your impact. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that simply means it. Until next time.